Joe, do you keep these or anything? Or neither? Okay. Give me something to write on if I need to. Okay. Now, I'm in Ephesians chapter 2 still yet, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Yes.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, I led off with this statement last week, that the Scriptures teach the absolute predestination of all things by God. You know, we make statements, Mason and I were talking, we talked some last week, we talked a little this morning. We talk about being a predestinarian, you know, or being an absolute predestinarian, but that's not true of me. I'm not an absolute predestinarian. God is. I believe in his absolute predestination of all things. But he is the absolute predestinator of all things. No matter what it is. To briefly review, remember what happened to Job. There was murder and theft and mayhem. Was there not? And what did Job say? The Lord gave, and the devil took away. Is that what he said?
No.
Even though it was Satan that God suffered to do these things, yet Job knew the Lord gave, and who took away? The Lord hath taken away, and then he said what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. We also looked at another case in which King David had grievously sinned against God.
Sir.
Now, I didn't mention this, but I will now mention this, that there is not a person upon the face of the earth that does not exist whom God did not predestinate to exist upon the face of the earth.
That's right.
And that includes Solomon.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And guess how Solomon got here?
Exactly.
Through Bathsheba.
That's right.
Now you just take it for whatever you want from that.
Yep.
Solomon existed because God Almighty predestinated that he be born.
Yes, sir.
It's just the way it is. We also looked at the fact that when David grievously sinned against the Lord, God did not punish David for that sin. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Because the wages of sin is death.
Yeah,
that's right.
But chastisement did fall upon David and even his house.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul was quite clear that this truth still carries on, even under the new covenant, that whatsoever a man soweth, what? That shall he also reap.
Amen.
He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Amen.
Now, even in the case of David's daughter, who was raped by her half-brother, this was a part of the judgment of God.
Yes, sir.
And this is just the way the Scripture presents it. Because David was told through Nathan the prophet, "I will take your women." In the KJV it's translated wives. That could be. But that, in particular, as a wife, never happened. What happened? Many of David's women things happened to him.
Yeah.
Now the point is this. God Almighty absolutely predestinated all things that come to pass.
Yeah.
If they come to pass, if it happened, God Almighty foreordained for it to happen, no matter what it is.
Yes, sir.
David's daughter, Tamar, was a victim.
That's right.
But it was still according to the foreordination of God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
Somebody harms one of you here, I'd be ready. Give them the electric chair. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Somebody comes along and hurts one of the people here, I'd want the most severe punishment, Joe, possible be brought upon that person. But yet the fact always boils down to this. The Lord gave. The Lord has the right to take away by whatever means he is pleased to so do that.
That's it. Exactly.
Remember, our Lord even taught this. He said, it must needs be that offenses come.
Amen.
You know why? Because God ordained them to come.
Yes, sir.
But he also said, this is just as true, but woe unto the man by whom the offense cometh.
Amen.
You see, when a person says, well, if you believe this, then you have to believe that. No, we believe this.
Amen.
And we do not go by human standards.
Exactly.
We are not motivated, or at least we should not be motivated by human feelings and emotion. The truth of God stands, and we're not here to try to make it all fit. We're here to believe it, to bow down to it, and to proclaim it.
Amen.
You remember, I think I left off with this. Now you can turn to Revelation chapter 6. I mentioned this. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. Let me just read that to get some of the context here. Revelation 6 and verse 12, and this is John said, and I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, this is, remember, there was a book, a scroll is what it is. We think of a book as this. It's a scroll. It had seven seals on it. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now it lets us clearly know that these are illustrations. They're a metaphorical language. It doesn't say the moon will become blood. It said it will become as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And let me say, any time the wind blows, God Almighty's the one making it do it.
Amen.
And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. This is an earthquake like no other. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and most of us say, yay, well, I'm glad it's them. Right? Right? Well, that's true. Yeah, but what else? Every bond man and every free man did what? Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. And I told you this is an anomalous language, an anomalous phrase.
Yeah.
But it's true nonetheless. And do what? Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb.
Amen.
I mean, when we think of the Lamb, we think of redemption. We think of mercy. Yeah. We think of compassion. And these things are true.
Yes, sir.
But he's also the Lamb of wrath.
Hide
us from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You see, our God is a God of wrath.
Yes, sir.
Scripture says God is love, and that's most definitely true, but he's also wrath.
Amen.
And as God willing, we will look at later, Scripture says God is willing to show his wrath.
Yes, sir.
He's not forced to show it.
Exactly.
It's not God has to do anything
exactly.
Other than he wants to do it.
Yeah.
Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased.
Amen.
Think of this, to hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Now we know that the Scripture makes statements like this, Romans 8:28, first part of it. And you know this, probably just about everyone here could probably quote it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. I quoted the whole thing, didn't I? I meant to quote the first part. And we know that all things work together for good, but it is qualified.
Yes, sir.
It's to them that love God.
Amen.
To them that are the called according to his purpose. Now, a couple
Amen.
Things here. That being true, then there must be an opposite of that.
Exactly.
Right? We know all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. So that means that if you do not love God, if you're not called according to his purpose, then nothing is working together for your good.
Amen.
No matter what good comes your way,
exactly.
It is not working together for your good.
Yeah.
Because you can't have one without the other.
Amen.
And when Paul writes, and we know that all things work together for good, we know that means all things.
Amen.
All things, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
And somebody said, but that can't mean this. The scripture gives illustration that even the thises are included.
Exactly.
Murder.
Yep.
Mayhem. And rape.
Yeah.
It's all a part of God's sovereign purpose. What many are willingly ignorant of is they forget God's judgment in the fall.
That's right.
This is not what God had to do. This is what God purposed to do.
Amen.
Was to judge the whole human race by one man's sin.
Yeah.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, who was the one that determined that would be done?
Exactly.
God Almighty did.
Yes.
And death. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by that, and so death passed upon all men, for that what all have sinned. I sinned before I was even born. Because I sinned in my federal head, Adam.
Amen.
And sin is a result of God Almighty's judgment against this world. Think about it. Mason mentioned this last week. And I want to be clear upon what I'm saying. And Mason mentioned this to me last week, and I was aware of it, but it just didn't come to my mind before. There are those who try to separate God in his thoughts and in his mind and in his purposes and in his will into two separate camps. They have a God who has a dual personality,
yeah,
is what it boils down to. They speak of his decreative will and his permissive will.
Yeah.
And when you study what is meant by this, they will admit there is a sovereign purpose of God wherein God sovereignly willed certain things to happen.
Yeah.
But then God also permits other things to happen, as though God has two wills.
Yeah.
But you remember what Job said. Now this same Job,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
The one who went through what God was pleased to put him through.
Yes, sir.
Job chapter 23, I'll be turning there. And before I read that, this one passage, Job chapter 23... So understand that I'm not just picking, David, I'm not just picking this verse up out of the Bible somewhere trying to make it to apply. Because it applies to the very man that had murder and mayhem fall upon everything he had.
Yes, sir.
And he gave the credit to who?
Yeah.
God.
Yes, sir.
And he even told his wife when she said, "You still retain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die?" That'd be a tough way to live with a spouse, would it not? And he said, "You speak as one of the foolish women speak. Have I not received good at the hand of the Lord?" What did he? What else did he say?
Yeah.
"Shall I not receive evil also?"
Amen.
Why? Because it's God Almighty's business.
Amen.
And you see, God is pleased to prove to his people who he really is,
yeah,
in all that he is.
Exactly.
Now, we like people to see certain parts of us,
yeah,
don't we? And we would just as soon other certain parts of us not be made manifest. But as I said before, as we will, God willing, look at later, Scripture says, what if God, willing to show his wrath, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? God hardens whom he will.
Amen.
He's not forced to harden. He hardens whom he will.
Amen.
Whom he will. Now think of this. Job chapter 23. And let me find this for the sake of time. Look at verse 13. And I was trying to look this verse up because I couldn't remember exactly where it was. Well, I had the wrong words. I'd always thought of this verse as saying, "But he is of one mind."
Yeah.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't even say, now that's true. I don't think we could say that's a false statement. Mason, he is of one mind, but it's even deeper than that. Look, and now this is Job talking about God. You look at it, you'll see that.
Yeah.
This is Job talking about God, but he is what? In one. Now, mind's put in there, but it's certainly not wrong. He is in one mind.
Amen.
The scripture says God is one. He does not have two separate distinct wills. That is a lie. It is human beings, even some who know the truth of God, yet trying to make the truth of God more palatable to humanity. And the truth of God will never be palatable to humanity, because by nature we hate God.
Amen.
And we'll even take His love and distort that.
Yes, sir.
How much more would we take His hatred and His wrath and distort that? Yet it is exactly as the scripture declares it to be. And we don't have to bring it down to our level and put it in little bites, little bits where we can manage it easily. The truth declares God to be who He is. God is love, but God is also jealous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And God said, "My glory I will not share."
Amen.
With another. God said, "I will cause even the wrath of men to do what? Praise me." Not me, Him, that's what I mean. He said, "I will cause even the wrath." Now, what is wrath? You name it. All of these, some of these things I've mentioned, Joe, and a lot more. But God said, "I'll cause even that to praise me."
Amen.
Think of that. Now, let me just say, I didn't read it all. But He is in one mind, and who can turn Him? And what His soul desireth, even that He doeth.
Amen.
For He performeth the thing, what does it say?
Yeah.
That is appointed for me.
Amen.
Here is Job once again saying, what happened? God Almighty ordained it to happen.
Yeah.
He appointed it to happen. He didn't just let the devil do it.
Exactly.
He didn't just permit the devil to do it. He decreed that the devil would do it.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Because the devil couldn't even touch Job till God let him touch him.
Right.
He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And basically, Satan said, "No, I have no reason to consider him. You've got a hedge about him and I can't touch him."
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
God Almighty appointed this to happen to Job, and Job knows that. And look, "And many such things are with me. Therefore am I troubled at His presence." What does the world want today? They want you to think God's your buddy.
Exactly.
They want you to think God's your pal. You know? They even said such blasphemous, disrespectful, irreverent language as to call Jesus Christ the old man upstairs.
Yeah, you're right.
No, He is the God of heaven and of earth. He is the potter, and we are the clay, and He will make us into whatever He wants us to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Wrath or mercy.
That's
who God is. Now let me jump ahead now and say, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "For by grace are ye what? Saved." Saved from what? First of all. And primarily, we are being saved from God Himself.
Amen.
His own wrath.
Yes, sir.
That's primarily the main thing.
Amen.
Because it is God Almighty that has the right to damn. He's holy.
Yeah.
He's holy. He has the right to do so. Therefore, Job says, "Therefore am I troubled at His presence when I consider what? I am afraid of Him." Scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You see, the reason most people don't fear the Lord, they don't know the Lord.
Amen.
And that's why the songwriter, what was it? His name? I don't remember. I can't even get it. I once was lost. Amazing Grace. That's the song. What was his name? I forgot it. Isaac, John Newton?
John Newton,
yeah. Isaac Newton. Yeah, he wrote some things. I was thinking the same thing, David. Don't feel bad. I was thinking the same. That's why I didn't say it. He wrote that song, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear." And for 22, 23 years or so, I sang that song and had no idea what John Newton was talking about.
That's it.
Because I thought grace was what I had to get God to give me.
Exactly.
I'll do something and God will give me that grace. No, grace is particular. And God gives it to whom he will. And others he withholds it from. It is the glory of God, Scripture says, to conceal a thing. That's what the book says. Proverbs says it. It's the glory of God to hide stuff.
Amen.
Why? Because he wants to.
That's right.
And that's what our Lord said.
Yeah.
You've hid these things from the wise and the prudent. You revealed them unto babes. Father, I thank you for it.
Amen.
Even so, for so it seemed good in thy sight. That's Amen. The God I got to be saved from, Joe.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That wrath.
Exactly.
That judgment. Because else he give it me to me freely and sovereignly, I would be like all others. Mm-hmm. And by nature, according to our text, or Ephesians 2, we were just like everyone else.
Exactly.
No, again I say, it's true. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. But the exact opposite is true of everyone else. Yeah. Nothing works for their good.
Amen.
The more they hear the gospel, the worse off they are.
Exactly.
Because Peter spoke of some that it would have been better for them not to have heard the word of truth than after they've heard it and made a following of it, then turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
Amen.
They're just like a dog that turned back to its own vomit and like a sow that is washed turns back to her wallowing in the mire. Christ said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and that's just going to add more condemnation to some folk, but God said to do it.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
God said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and yet it had been better, Peter says, if some of them hadn't heard it.
That's right.
Both of those, you don't try to make them fit. Don't try to make them hash them out to where your puny and my puny little mind can get a hold of it. They're both true.
Amen.
There they are. Stated in Scripture, this is who God is, and that's the point.
Amen.
This is not just a doctrine we hold to. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
And I don't have to try to separate God's will into decreative and permissive to somehow let God escape.
Yeah.
You remember what we read from Job, don't you? What Elihu said? God said, I won't give an account of myself to no one.
Amen.
I don't give an account Amen. Of myself to no one. Look at chapter 34. Of Job. Now this is Elihu here now. Job 34. The first part. Just the first part. And you look at the context. Because I must be in context. I must be preaching to you what this is actually saying. Not trying to use a passage to prove my point. So you look at the context later. But look at what it says. Job 34 and 33. Should it be according to thy mind? But that's what we think, don't we? All of these people, that these politicians and all these bloggers I mentioned last week, they think God's got to be the way we think he ought to be.
Exactly.
And let me tell you something, by nature, I'm the same way.
Yes, sir.
Even today, I still have that flesh, Joe, that still thinks God ought to be like I say he is.
Yeah.
These things I'm declaring to you is not what I think God is, it's who God says he is. Because there's a part of me, Joe, that don't want God to be like that.
Exactly.
You know that?
Oh, yeah.
As you quoted, Joe, I don't want that man to what?
Reign
over me. But he does.
Amen.
But he does. Look, should it be according to thy mind? He will recompense it, whether thou refuse or whether thou choose. Mm-hmm. No, go mark that one down in the book of free will.
Exactly.
Elihu is saying, it's not your choice or my choice or our refusal of anything that will make the difference. It is God Almighty's purpose that will make the difference.
Amen.
And that's what is taught in Scripture.
Yes, sir.
As again I say, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. The Lord gave, and even if it's the devil doing it, we still have to cry out, the Lord takes away.
Amen.
And then, not just, now a lot of people will say that.
Yeah.
But can you say it and really taste it? Do you really know it's the truth? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I bless him for that.
Yeah.
In spite of myself, Joe.
Yeah.
In spite of my flesh, David, I still, by his grace, am made to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. Now remember, we're talking about who God is. And the scripture, as we will see later, said we are delivered from the wrath to come. Didn't the scripture say that? Whose wrath? God's wrath.
Amen.
The very wrath of the Lamb.
Yeah.
The very wrath of the Lamb. Proverbs 16, the preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And I've preached on that and preached on that, and I've talked about regeneration. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the same thing's true on the other side too.
That's right.
Even amongst the unregenerate. You can speak and you can talk and you can think and you make choices and you decide things and you believe this or you believe that. And you know who enabled you to do that? You know who gives you the breath to do that? You know who gives you and I the life to do these things? Who does? God does.
Amen.
The very breath with which men were cursing the Lord of glory when he hung on that tree, that breath was given them by God Almighty.
Amen.
That ability to do those things, David, was given them by God Almighty. And then the scripture goes so far as to tell us that God Almighty predestinated those very things to happen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Acts chapter 4. It's right there. Proverbs chapter 16, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes.
Oh, yeah.
But the Lord weighs the spirits. Now, what's he talking? The Lord knows what my intent really is.
Exactly.
And it's evil. But you know what? I thank God that it doesn't depend upon me.
Amen.
Because that is exactly what Joseph told his brothers. Brothers, what you did to me, you did it as evil. You meant it for evil. And I read that on this one of these people that believe in this decreative will and permissive will.
Yeah.
He quoted that and then turned right around and said, but God changed it for his good. That's not what Joseph said.
No, sir, it's not.
He said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. So God meant that to happen.
Amen.
And he meant it for what? Good.
Yeah. Amen.
Good. Good for who? Good for every one of his people.
Amen.
Good for his own.
That's right.
Good for his own. Again, what's going on? All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts also shall be established. The Lord hath made all. And that word things can throw you off because it's not talking about the inanimate objects here. You see, it's not things. He's talking about people here. The Lord hath made all for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. That's an astounding statement.
Amen.
Yet it's true. It's God Almighty. He's sovereign over everything.
Amen.
No matter what despicable act you and I can think of, or what righteous act you and I can think of, God Almighty sovereignly not just controls it, he ordained it.
Amen.
Amen.
He ordained it. Everyone that is proud in heart. Now here's the other side. Everyone that is proud in heart is what?
Yeah.
An abomination.
Amen.
To the Lord. But what? The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongues of the Lord.
That's right.
My heart's like it is by nature because God Almighty condemned me to that.
Yeah, that's right.
Now see this. Let me give you something now. And don't judge it before you hear all that I have to say. There are people in this world, but they use it as a sense of excuse or as a sense of self-justification. And you have someone that's a rapist or a murderer or a homosexual, and they say, well, God made me that way. Yeah. See, I used to say no, but now I say yeah. But it's his judgment. It's his condemnation. Yeah, he made you that way, and he made me that way too. And that was his judgment against the whole human race when Adam sinned against God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
You see, it's that, let's go ahead and just beat them at their own game. Let's not be afraid of the, well, you believe in absolute sovereignty. Is there any other kind?
Exactly.
I mean, to be sovereign is to be absolute.
Yep.
It's like I told you one time here, and I'm not saying this to criticize them, I'm saying, but because we're all capable and we all make these kind of statements. Years ago, someone said to Earl, what do you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I was standing right by. Matter of fact, I was probably standing about right there. And I looked at both Earl and the person that said that, and I said, that's not true. Because there is but one absolute power.
Amen.
And that's God Almighty. And he ain't corrupted by his absolute power. Now, if you say, well, I'm talking humanly speaking, then you're talking about what?
Not
so absolute. So then it don't apply.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
You see, but we say things like this because we think we're smart. And I'm not picking on the person. I still make the same stupid statement sometimes. Mason and I were talking about this. We're still talking about God intervening. God don't intervene. God's the one that caused it to happen.
Exactly.
He ain't intervening.
Amen.
He's not out here and then he's got to come in and fix it up. It's all happening according to his own sovereign will for our good and the damnation of everybody else.
Yes.
That's just the way it is. That's just who God is.
Exactly.
For by grace. Now that ought to make a little more. That ought to be a little more grand and glorious if you really get that, who God really is.
Exactly.
For by grace are you saved.
Amen.
Through faith, and that not of yourselves. The very God who is a God of wrath gave you that gift.
Amen.
He's the very, I need to be saved from myself.
Yes,
I need
sir.
To be saved from my sins. All of these things are true. But first and foremost, I got to be saved from God's wrath.
Amen.
Why? Because I've earned it.
Exactly. That's it.
I've earned it. I'm due it. That's my payday.
Yeah.
But that's why we call it grace.
Amen.
Not getting what you do deserve and getting what you absolutely don't deserve.
Right.
For by grace are you saved through faith. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand join in hand. He shall not go unpunished. That's the same way as offenses. It must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto the man by whom the offense cometh.
Amen.
Let me tell you, so I've heard people say this is nonsensical. Why? It's out of pure emotion. Well, Judas had just as much a chance as anybody else. It ain't about chance.
Exactly.
Judas didn't have a chance.
Right.
Judas was a vessel of wrath fitted to destruction.
Amen.
And God was the potter who made it that way.
Sir.
That's just the way it is. Now, did God condemn Judas just for condemnation's sake? No. Sin was the culprit.
Sir.
But let me tell you, sin's the culprit in all of our lives.
Exactly.
And we're complicit in it.
Yes.
We're complicit in it. Let me tell you, when Adam sinned against God, had I been there, I'd have done the same thing.
Amen.
And think about it. I do like what Jim McLarty said on one of his tapes. I think it may have been the message, saved by grace. Think of it. Adam was created upright. And he said there were no other women to mess with.
That's it.
Were there? David, he didn't have to worry about adultery or fornication. There wasn't nobody else around.
Yeah.
There was one thing he was not to do. That's to steal. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
To take of something he was told wasn't his and he's got no right to eat of it.
Yeah.
Don't eat of this. Adam did. And for theft, God condemned the whole human race.
Amen.
Right?
Yes,
isn't that what happened?
Right.
God condemned the whole human race. Yep. But the point is this, not does that feel good to me, not does that make me all ooey gooey inside.
No.
That's who God is. Yeah.
Amen.
These are the facts. Look at Ecclesiastes 3. You know this one as well. Where basically, Solomon said this, whatever happens, when it does happen, it was meant to happen.
Amen.
That's what he basically says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, all the way down to verse 8. I mean, he begins it with this, to every thing there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to do this. And a time to do the exact opposite of that.
Exactly.
Right? Everything here is one thing and an exact opposite of it. And it's all purposed. It has its place. And then look at what it says. Verse 10. I have seen the travail. And then what's that next phrase? Which God hath given.
Amen.
Isn't that what that says?
Yes, sir.
See, most people think, well, God does the good stuff, the devil does the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Is that what Job said? No. Job said, God does the good stuff, I receive the bad as well, the evil as well, the difficult travail as well from his hand. I have seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Now, what's that mean? That means this is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be severe. So severe that it's said of some men that their hearts will fail them for fear.
Exactly.
He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can. Now, what do most people think? They think, well, God's done all this so everybody can see how great he is. Is that what this says?
No,
it says the exact opposite of that.
Exactly.
Men, including me, apart from the Spirit of God Almighty, we will lie on God every chance we get.
Yes, sir.
We'll quote a verse and then say exactly the opposite of it and say that's the truth.
Yep.
Look what it says. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God, and we don't even do that.
Exactly.
We don't even do that.
You're right.
Look, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, and nothing can be what? Taken from it. So this idea of God sovereignly decreed certain things, but then he permits other things, that ain't what that says.
That's
exactly, is it?
You're right.
It says exactly the opposite of that. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. You can't put nothing to it. You can't take anything from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been,
yeah,
is now.
Yeah.
And that which is to be, or that which is to be, hath already been. And then look at this last, this sums it up. And God requireth that which is past.
Yeah.
Mason was telling me about a lady, I guess she'd been interviewed by the news, one of the news people. I forget it. Was it Rather?
Yeah.
And he said to her something along the lines, you mean to tell me that God predestinated or foreordained or meant for the Holocaust to happen? She said, yes. Isn't that what she said, Mason? And he said, well, why? I mean, how do you know that? She said, because it happened.
That's right.
And if it happens, what's that to say? God requireth that which is, if it happened, God required it to happen.
Exactly.
And if it don't happen, then that means God didn't require it to happen, Joe.
Exactly.
He requires it to happen. Not just he lets it happen. Not just he permits it. Now, he may suffer it to happen, but he's still the one that ordained it to happen. He doesn't suffer it, then ordain it. That's nonsense. Why would you have to ordain what's already going to be?
Yeah, exactly.
You understand that? For it to actually exist, Solomon is saying God Almighty's got to be the first cause.
Yes.
And he is the first cause of everything.
Amen.
And that's why it is so glorious when we read, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of that God.
Amen.
The God has this right. Now let's read it. Turn and let's read it. Romans chapter 9. And I know we're aware of this, but as Peter said, we need to be constantly reminded of things.
Yes, sir.
Romans chapter 9. And let me look at this. This is starting verse 6. So give me just a few more minutes. Verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Now, I want you to go back and check. You will go look through the scripture. You never hear of God's purposes.
Yeah.
You know that?
That's true.
You always hear of his purpose. Why? Because God is one.
Amen.
God is in one mind. He doesn't have to have two. I don't have to give God two minds so it sounds better.
Right.
God is one mind. He is in one mind. Who can turn him? Now, where was that? There we are. Not according to that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works any kind,
Exactly. Good
or evil, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, that is to Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I loved, but I hated Esau.
Yeah.
And that's just what it says.
Amen.
There's no need for me to say, well, and people do, and you will see it in Strong's.
Yeah.
For that word hated, they'll use as one of the possible renderings, love less. Even in Strong's. Well, let me tell you, Brother Strong was wrong. Because let me tell you something. Even if God did... See, this is what the Word wants to teach. Well, God actually loves everybody, but he has a special love for the elect. There's grace people out there teaching that. That's not true. He's in one mind. God doesn't love everybody. Right here's two twins. He loved one of them and he hated the other. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Notice he doesn't try then to give us an answer, does he?
No.
He doesn't try to define why it's so. What does he say? The only answer we get is this. God forbid. Why? Because he said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Amen.
And there must be an opposite to every coin like that.
Yeah.
And this goes on to say, whom he will, he hardens.
Yeah.
So the same God who says, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy here, he's in one mind. He also says, on whom I will, I'll harden. Now look. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's basically just saying, if you get mercy, it came from God and God alone.
Amen.
What a nonsensical, irreverent thing to tell someone. If I offend Joe, I do Joe wrong, and I go to him and say, Joe, I'm going to let you show me mercy. That is the height of human pride. You don't let anybody show you mercy. Mercy is at the disposal of the shower.
That's right.
Or it ain't mercy. Is it?
Exactly.
So then it's not of him that willeth, but of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For as the scripture said, now he's going to give us the other side of the coin. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, and that's probably not even the best way to put it. Since I'm sitting here using that, else you're still not the best way to put it. Well, it almost wants to distinguish between a good side and a bad side. This is one God. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. What purpose? Notice he doesn't even define it. Why? Because whatever happened to Pharaoh, God meant that to happen to Pharaoh.
Amen.
Everything that Pharaoh even did, God meant for him to do it.
Yes, sir.
For this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he'll harden. Thou wilt. Now notice, automatically people say, well then that makes God the author of sin. Who said so?
Exactly.
Who made you boss?
Exactly.
Who put you on the throne?
Yeah.
It's nonsense. I don't have to try to defend God from being the author of sin. He's absolutely sovereign.
Amen.
And let me tell you, sin is what it is because he's holy.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's the one who... His very holy character, Joe, defines what sin must be. Everything contrary to that.
Exactly.
That's sin.
Yes, sir.
But look, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have, on whom he will, and whom he will he hardeneth. You will say then to me, why doth he yet find fault? Because who hath resisted his permissive will? No. Who hath resisted what? His one will.
Yeah.
His will, period. For who hath, in other words, why could God then still judge somebody if that's the very thing he meant to happen? Because he's God.
Yeah.
And he has the right to judge wrong even if he ordained wrong come to pass.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. And how? What answer are we given to that? We're given the illustration of the potter and the clay.
Yeah.
Right? Thou wilt say to me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? You are just like God meant for you to be. Even if he's meant to damn you or to save you.
Amen.
Either one. Look, hath not the potter power? That means both authority and ability. It includes both. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another? Now, who's doing the making here? I mean, it's God. I used to shudder. I used to try to talk around this. I used to try to make it more palatable, even here to you. I was wrong, David. I was wrong. Why? Because has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto what? Honor, and another vessel unto dishonor. That's
Amen.
His sovereign right.
Amen.
What if God, willing to show his wrath, endured and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath? And then it said, people don't go to hell just to go to hell. They're fitted for hell.
Yeah, that's right.
They're fitted for hell because of sin. And sin is the condemnation of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Sin is the judgment of God. God, whereas what we have, one man entered by, sin entered by Adam's, entered the human race by Adam's sin. The whole thing, original sin, but God Almighty ordained it to be.
Yes, sir.
Or he would have never stuck that tree in the garden.
You
see, you got people who say, well, God knows everything, but then they have him turn around doing exactly what they say he really didn't want to do.
Exactly.
They usually give you medicine for that nowadays.
Yeah.
They'll put you on some heavy drugs if you're that way.
Yep.
And let me tell you, that's basically what people want to do with God, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they think God has, they think the God of heaven actually has some kind of mental disorder. No, he's the God of heaven.
Yeah.
And he does whatever he pleases. Among the armies of heaven, we don't mind that about the angels, do we? But even among the inhabitants of the earth. Now let me read you one more. Psalm 78. I just seen this morning while Joe was preaching. And I was listening, Joe. But there are times when something pops into my mind. God here in this chapter is talking about what he did to Israel. And things he had to, you know, he did to Israel. But look at this one verse. Verse 49 of Psalm 78. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels.
Yeah.
You see that? That's what that says, doesn't it?
Amen.
That's what it says. That's who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the God I got to be saved from, his wrath.
Amen.
That wrath. Why? Because he has the right to do that, even to me.
Exactly.
And even to you. Father, bow us to you in thy truth, but also, Lord, by your grace and compassion and mercy, help us to rejoice in those three self-same things, your grace, compassion, and mercy. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.